Before we start the message tonight, I feel it'd be good for us to practice a few things. You know, some of the things that we learned this morning was that we can call on the Lord and contact the Lord ourselves. So let's do this. This is our practice right now. We're going to close our eyes, bow our heads, and very quietly, let's call on the name of the Lord to ourselves. For 1 minute, okay? Just to get into our spirit. Okay, let's begin. Amen. Okay, now, while we're just still in our spirit, let's take another minute to confess anything. You know, in just a short amount of time in our day, we could have mistakes again, and we could have some offenses. So let's make sure that there's nothing between us and the Lord. Let's also just take a minute right now to pray, to confess whatever, if we're conscious of anything, apply the Lord's blood and love Him and use this for a little bit of prayer together, okay? So let's do that. Let's continue. Okay, now the third thing I'd like to practice, turn to page 20 in your folder, and it's a verse sheet for tonight's meeting. You see that first verse at the top of the page is Romans chapter 10, verse 10. So, how about with the person next to you, two or three of you, however many there are, we'll pray read that, just the two or three of you. Now let's do this. Let's read the verse all together, Romans 10:10, and then we will take 1.5 minutes to pray read this, just two by two or three by three. Okay, so let's do this. Let's begin right now to read it. For with the heart there is believing unto righteousness, and with the mouth there is confession unto salvation. Okay, begin.
Thank you.
awesome.
This could go in the pocket, huh?
Yeah,
keep it outside. Keep it out.
Yeah, in your belt. You got about 15 seconds.
Yeah, good way to. Wow, what a way to start the meeting. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here, huh?
Amen.
I do believe the Lord has set aside this weekend for us to have a special time of fellowship.
Yeah.
And I hope you've seen and enjoyed something already. And we're just getting warmed up, I think. Tonight, we're going to continue with message 4 on the matter of confession. Now, confession with the mouth. Firstly, there's really, you may have already figured out that there's a couple of different kinds of confession. This morning and even tonight, we had a little bit of time of confession, of just to confess to the Lord, to open to the Lord, to allow the Lord to shine into us. There's a certain kind of confession there where we acknowledge to the Lord that we have sinned. But the confession that we're going to speak about tonight is a confession where we admit to others that we believe in Jesus.
Amen.
Basically, it's an acknowledgement of what we believe in. I'll read the dictionary definition to you, just so we're clear about our terms, okay? Confession means to acknowledge or avow by way of revelation, to own or admit as true, to declare or acknowledge, to acknowledge one's belief or faith in, or to reveal by circumstances. So, on the one hand, we confess to the Lord by acknowledging to the Lord, yes, we have sinned. Maybe this afternoon we weren't so nice to one of the brothers and sisters. Maybe we had some cross words for someone. Maybe as we were walking through the village, we saw something that didn't belong to us and put it in our pocket. There's all kinds of things, right? It's altogether good to acknowledge our weaknesses and our sins before the Lord. And that's what confession really is. You know, you think about in Genesis. In Genesis, you know the story, right? Where Adam took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he knew he had disobeyed God. And God comes to the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? Adam's first reaction when he realizes that he had sinned against God, what is his first reaction? He hides from God. He doesn't want to confess. He doesn't want to acknowledge that he has sinned before God. So he's afraid of God. He's fearful of God. And in fact, even then, when he begins to fellowship with God, he continues to try to hide the sin by blaming Eve. Right? He said, it's the woman that you gave me that caused me to eat of this tree. So the natural human tendency, whenever we're confronted with the fact that we sin, we make mistakes, our immediate tendency is to try to deny it or try to avoid it. How many times as a kid have you said to your mom or dad, you know, when they came to you and said, you know, were you nasty to Rebecca? They said, no. Rebecca was mean to me. Right away, you want to blame the other one, right? How many times have you dealt with situations where right away there's a tendency to want to avoid and deny and hide from the real situation? So on the one hand, this is the this is a kind of confession that we need in our daily life. We need to practice this and not be afraid of opening to the Lord, even with our weaknesses. Opening to the Lord and admitting to Him, Lord, I do fail. I had to confess even this morning. Even on the way up here, I had to confess a number of things because it's so easy to fail, so easy to make mistakes. But tonight we'll talk about another kind of confession, and that is a willingness to acknowledge to others that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I hope you had more success than I did this afternoon. You know, today what we were doing was a kind of practice of confessing the Lord before others. Just by going out to hand out tracts, to speak to people about the Lord, this is to confess Him before others. I don't know about you, but when I went out, it seemed like everybody I went to, they just weren't interested. They just weren't interested in taking the track. I went to one young man who came out of the Jack in the Box riding his Volkswagen Bug. He had his tattoos going, and he had just ordered his sandwich. I figured I'd grab him while he was there waiting for the traffic to clear. He said, "Nah, I don't want one of those things." Yeah, he wasn't even nice about it. But still, we need to go out regardless of the reaction. And so tonight we'll talk a little bit about what it means to confess. And you know, another thing, saints, what I hope tonight we can accomplish, just to let you know a little bit ahead of time what we're going to do this evening. So I would like to impress you and touch you. And I hope you just feel almost inspired when you realize that as we sit here today to fellowship these matters, our fellowship has been made possible by a wonderful heritage of many believers who have gone before us, who have been willing to pay a price to stand for the Lord's interests. You know, in Christian history and in church history, there have been many believers who have paid the price, paid a price even with their own lives, to be willing to confess His name. And the more you consider their lives and their example, I hope we can even be somewhat inspired to follow their pattern. But one thing I'd like to do is to take Matthew chapter, where'd the verse go? Matthew chapter 10, I think it was. The wind's blowing the breeze is blowing my Bible here. 10, chapter 10, verse 21 through 33. Let's just read this section together. Let's start with the brothers. Read verse 21. Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. We all set? Okay, brothers, verse 21. Then sisters, and then we'll alternate all the way through.
And brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and put them to death.
And he will be hated by all because of my name. But he who has endured to the end, this one shall be saved.
Amen. And when they persecute you, this city, flee unto another. For truly I say to you, you shall by no means finish the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes.
A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above his master.
It is sufficient for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. And they have called the master of the house beautiful. How much more those of his household?
Therefore, do not fear
Amen. Therefore, do not fear. Why do you think the Lord says that? Consider the verses before that. Why do you think the Lord says, do not fear? Anyone? I'm sorry? So we wouldn't fear? Yes, he says it so that we don't fear. But why does he need to say it? Because what? Because we were fearful. Yeah. Sorry? We're saved. He says, do not fear because there's reason to be afraid. Consider the verses before that. Consider the verses before that. There will be persecution. There will be rejection. People will despise you. So the Lord says, do not fear. That is the situation when you are a Christian. That is the situation when you are a believer. But even it is more the situation when you are a person who confesses his name to others. Now, even today, we went out, and there was a little bit of rejection out there, but nothing too extreme, right? Nothing too much to be afraid of. But even before we went out, we had some fellowship to encourage you all. Don't be afraid. So we're going to consider tonight why it is we have that kind of reaction. Why it is we would be afraid to declare his name to other human beings. Why should that be? Why should we be afraid to tell other people about the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ that we have met? We shouldn't be afraid, right? But we'll fellowship some more about this. Now, what I'd like for you to do also is take a look at John chapter 12, verses 42 to 43. Let's read that together. It's also in your booklet as well, in your sheet as well. Page 20 of the booklet. John chapter 12, 42 through 43. Let's read it all together. Go.
Nevertheless, even many of the rulers believed into him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God.
Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, for they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. Well, saints, this is just an introduction a little bit into this matter of confession. And what I'd like to do is go to the outline itself, page 19, and let's read the heading together. Confession with the mouth, Roman number 1. Once a person has believed in the Lord, he should not keep the matter a secret. He has to confess the Lord with his mouth. You know, there are a lot of believers who say it is enough that we just believe in the Lord with our heart. And the idea of confessing him with our mouth is not so easy. But do notice in Romans chapter 10 that to confess him with our mouth is a very important matter. It's not that we confess him by thinking about him. It's not that we confess him by our personal prayer, although we do that. But we need to use our mouth to confess him. What that means is we speak to others. We're willing to speak to others, to declare his name. I enjoyed the hymn we sang, "Declare His Doings Among the People." Right? It is so good to talk about him. It is so good to declare his name to others. And so one thing we want to impress you with tonight is that it is a wonderful element of our Christian life that we could speak Christ to other human beings. Now, we realize, of course, many of you are junior high students. Maybe you have not been a believer so long. But you know what? The most qualified speakers are the ones that have just met him. The most qualified people in the room are those who have just met him. Because your experience of the Lord is fresh. Your contact with the Lord is new. And you have something to say to others. Let's go to A. Brothers, read A. You know, this is really true. I know from my experience, and I know from knowing many Christians over the years, that if you do not speak about the Lord, it becomes something that's harder and harder to do later on. You know, in my experience, though, I had a very unusual experience when I came to the Lord. And maybe I'll just tell you a story. In fact, tonight I hope to tell you a number of stories that will touch your heart and help you to just be so encouraged to speak about the Lord Jesus. But you know, I was raised a Roman Catholic. I heard some murmuring, you know, oh, poor guy, right? And I didn't really know anything about the Lord until late in my college years when I actually received Christ. But as a young person growing up, I was taught a lot of things. And I was taught some of the Bible stories, but mainly I was taught a lot of Catholic teaching. And I will explain later because we're going to speak about something called the Inquisition. And that's when I won't get to it now, but in the Roman Catholic Church, without getting into too much detail, there is a series of beliefs there that make it very difficult for people to know the Lord and very difficult for people to go on with the Lord. Although there are genuine believers in the Catholic Church. There are brothers and sisters who've been born again that are in the Catholic Church. But one of the things that makes it difficult, for example, is there's not that much appreciation for the Bible as the Word of God. They have a lot of other things, missals and things, the teachings that they bring in that in their view are more helpful to people. And as a result, you don't get to know the pure Word of God so much. So you can be told a lot of stories, and then you think you know what God is all about. When I can tell you now, if you walk out onto the village, and you meet, if that place was filled with just Roman Catholics, and you talk to all of them, none of them could tell you what's in the little booklet we handed out today, The Mystery of Human Life. They just wouldn't be able to tell you about it, because they've never been told. Now, they think they know, because they've been told a lot of other things. They've been taught a lot of other things about God, about Jesus, but also about Mary. They pray to Mary. They seek help from Mary. That by itself should tell you a lot about where they are. And so, as a young man growing up in that religion, I was told a lot of things. And I thought I understood a lot of things about God, but actually, I was far off. And I didn't realize it so much. But then as I went through high school and into college, I began to have some problems because I didn't know what life was for. And I didn't know why I was on the earth. And I didn't know how I should carry myself as a human being. And so I grew up a long time ago, before any of you guys were around, of course. I was growing up in the 60s. And in the 60s, there were a lot of people doing a lot of things. And I got into it. And I experimented, and I tried this and tried that. And because I was an aimless young man with no sense of bearing as to what my life was for. When I went to college, I didn't know what to major in. I had no idea. In fact, I went to college and they wanted me to see a psychiatrist because my IQ was up here and my performance was down there. I went to St. John's University in New York, and they were concerned about me because I didn't know where I was going. And I didn't know, what's the point of all this? And so there I was, and a couple of friends of mine and I, we decided one spring break to hitchhike down to Florida. Hitchhiking was a little bit more acceptable back then. A little safer, yes. And as we were doing this, we got stuck in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And it was raining. Nobody was picking us up. We got dropped off there at 1 o'clock. We were in New York on our way down to Florida. We got dropped off 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 8 o'clock at night. It's drizzling the whole time. No one picking us up. Standing there, hoping to get a ride. Finally, about 10 o'clock, we figured this isn't working so well. And we hated the idea of spending money at a motel in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We were on our way to Florida, after all. How could we spend our money there? But we had to. We went into a Howard Johnson's motel. And there was nothing to do. And I looked at the table, and there was a Gideon's Bible. And I had never really read the Bible before. And I was about 22 years old. So I picked up this Bible, and I just started to read in the Gospel of John. The reason I picked John is because I kind of liked the name. I didn't like Matthew, Mark, Luke. John was the one. So I start reading in the Gospel of John. And you know what he says in John, right? I am the bread of life. Says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. The peace that I give is not the peace that the world gives, but my own peace I give to you. And I was reading this book, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. I thought this was so awesome. Jesus said this. I had always appreciated Jesus, always respected Jesus. I mean, how could you not? Right? I mean, he was the most wonderful, even as a heathen, I still respected Jesus. Most heathens do. He was a great man. He did a lot of wonderful things. He healed people. He said great things. But they're not so clear on the fact that he went to the cross to die for our sins. And he went through a process of death and resurrection so that he could live inside of us. That part I wasn't so clear about. But still, as I read the Gospel of John, I just realized there was something subjective about it. There was something personal about it. So the next day, we continued on our way down to Florida. And I took the Bible with me. Because I stole the Bible. Actually, I told Gideon's later on, they were very happy to hear this whole story. They say, that's why we put the Bible there. save desperate people like you. So there I took the Bible and we continued on our way down to Florida. And on the way down, in fact, I kept score of how many rides it took us to get down there. It took us 45 rides to get to Florida. And on the way, I was sitting there reading the Bible. Some guys would pick us up, get in, I'd start reading the Bible. So in Virginia, two guys picked us up. And as soon as we got in the car, we realized we made a big mistake. Because these guys looked like they had just broken out of jail. And they just looked like the part in the movie, you know, the guys that are on the run, you know, a little growth, you know, the shirt. They're a couple of desperados, right? The three of us pile in the back of a Chevy Impala, continue on our way, and they start to say, you know what, we've been having a lot of trouble with hitchhikers around here. And, you know, but we have our ways of dealing with hitchhikers. And at that point, he reached under his dashboard, and he pulled out a gun. He said, as long as we have something like this, we don't have too much problem. You know what I mean? And we said, yes, sir, you're not getting any problem from us, believe me. I quickly went back to my Bible at that point. We continued and eventually made our way to Florida. And in Hollywood, Florida, my friend and I were sitting on a park bench. And it was in the evening, and we were talking to one another. My friend was smoking a cigarette. And we're looking at each other, and we're talking about God. And we were trying to figure out whether God existed or not. And he said, I don't know, do you believe in God? And I said, yeah, I think I believe in God. I mean, there's got to be something that created everything that we see around us. You know, you look at this whole universe, there must be a God. He said, yeah, that's pretty much the way I have it figured too, you know. But that was it. And so at that point, a young couple, actually they were brother and sister, Filipino, walking up to us, playing a guitar. This was the 60s, remember, playing a guitar. They came up and they said, hey, can we have a cigarette? My friend gave him a cigarette and they said, what are you guys talking about? We said, we're talking about God. And they said, oh, well, can we join in the conversation? And it turned out that they were born again Christians. Now, this was the first time in my life I had ever talked to a born again Christian. And they said, well, what do you think about God? And we said, well, yeah, you know, there must be a God. God exists. You know, and they began to share with us how they had received Christ. And I tell you, I had never heard that before. But I was not interested in accepting it right away. I wanted to argue with them a little bit. So we wound up spending the whole night together. And I said, well, if God is so loving and he cares about people so much, why is there all this suffering in the world? Why do little kids, you know, suffer and die? Why all the war? Why all the problems? I don't know how he answered those questions. I do not remember. But I do remember this. I never forgot that as I sat there and talked with him and looked at him in his face, I knew he had something with the Lord that I did not have. And there was something in me that wanted what he had. Now, we stayed up all night in this park talking about the Lord. And I did not receive Christ that night. You know, usually the moral of the story is at that, you know, you have the long conversation, eventually there's a breakthrough, and then, you know, the sinner repents with tears and calls on the Lord. I argued with them all night. And as far as they know, we never received the Lord, as far as those believers know. But one day, I am going to see them in the New Jerusalem, and I am going to thank them that they spoke to us in that park. because that word put something into my being that had not been there before. The fact of the matter is, when they spoke to us, they spoke faith into both of us. And that other brother who was there with us that night, he is in the church in New York City. And that night, we saw something and experienced something we had never experienced before. Well, it took several months, in fact, about a year, before I actually became a Christian. And when I became a Christian, it was under kind of the strangest of circumstances. No one was there speaking to me. In fact, I was at a I was at a rock and roll concert. And we were there. And until then, this was something that we did in my circle of friends, okay? Remember, I grew up a Roman Catholic. And there we were, and I tell you, saints, while I was there, I just had this feeling as this was going on that man was not intended for this. That man was intended for something much higher than this. And I don't know where I got that thought. I do know where I got that thought. It was from the speaking in Florida and from reading that Gideon's Bible. There's something had been put into me that began to affect my point of view. And as we sat there, there was something within me, actually in my spirit, that was causing me to react against that situation that we were in. And eventually, I began to consider many of the things I'd read in the Gospel of John. And I considered many of the things I heard from the people. And I began to write these things down. Because I wasn't sure if I was going to, you know, whether this was just some kind of realization I was never going to be able to, like, get back here again. And I wrote these things down. And my friend... His name was Billy Knowles, but we called him Whitey. He was sitting there watching me, and I was writing these things down, and I wrote down, Jesus is real. Somehow I had a yellow piece of paper and a pencil, and I wrote down, Jesus is real. And open the door, and Jesus is there. And Jesus is the real peace. And trust in him. I wrote these things down, honest, I'm not making this up. Nobody told me to do this. I just began to have a realization, and the Lord was speaking to me. The Lord eventually was with me right there in this place, in the East Village of New York City. He was there. Just as much as I know his presence was there with me. And I realized, you know what? I had an opportunity in him to have a whole different kind of living. I could conduct my life in a completely different way. So when we left that place, my friend said to me, what was going on in there with you? And I said, Whitey, I met Jesus tonight. That was the first time I had the chance to confess the Lord to someone else. And you know what? It wasn't that I was making anything up. It wasn't that it was so difficult even to say. I could just simply report to him that I met Jesus tonight. And saints, this is what we mean by confessing his name. When we talk about confessing with our mouth, it means we report to others what we have seen and what we have enjoyed in Christ. This is our glorious portion as believers in the Lord, that we can tell others that we have met Jesus. Amen. And that we believe in him. Well, my way of going through this story is just really to tell you that for you to be able to speak about him, even even at a young age, is a tremendous and a glorious thing, and that we should not take for granted in any way. Let us continue now with the outline. I think we're at B, 1B. 1B? Yes.
When one believes in his heart unto righteousness, he is saved. This is something before God. When he confesses with his mouth unto salvation, that is something before men.
Let's go to C. I hope we're impressed with this point. You know, it really, I think, is our experience that to speak about the Lord to others not only helps them, it helps us. Our temptation will be many times greater than the temptation of those who openly confess the Lord. The problem is that if we don't confess the Lord to others, for the most part, people have no way of knowing, right? I mean, you may think that there's some kind of a aura that kind of emanates from you. You may think, well, I'll just walk into that room and I am the light of the world after all. So people will just see, you know, that I just shine Christ. Doesn't really happen that way. We actually need to tell the people that we believe in Him. That's where there's a kind of paying of a price. That's where we run the risk of persecution. That's where we confront a kind of fear that comes into us that causes us to be afraid to speak to others. Now, many of you went back to school perhaps last week, right? And when somebody says, I don't know if this question came up, maybe it did. But when somebody says, what did you do during the summer? Or how did you enjoy your summer vacation? Or how have you been? There are many ways to answer those questions. Sometimes we may have the thought, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to tell them that, you know, I had a good time with the Lord this summer. I learned a lot more about Jesus this summer. I got to fellowship with some brothers and sisters this summer that was, in a way, that was very encouraging to me. There are many things we could say, but if you're like me, you probably say, well, not too much. Took a trip to Florida or Europe or whatever. It's easy to talk about the other things, right? It's easy to tell others about the day-to-day sort of things. Not so easy to tell them about the Lord. Why do you think that is? Anybody have a thought? Why do you think it's not easy to tell others about Jesus? Not everyone what? Not everyone has the Lord in them, right? It's not, and they don't think it's cool. Okay. We have a fear of persecution. Yeah. Yeah. Please say it louder so we all can hear. What was that? Yeah, exactly. That you were afraid of what they'll think of us. Was there a hand over here?
Because we're scared to lose face.
All these comments, I think, are really true. We're afraid to lose face. Actually, it's just like the verse says. We care more for the glory of men than for the glory of God. This is something that we all, saints, we all should consider before the Lord. You know, do we care more for the glory of men than the glory of God? We have an opportunity when we speak about the Lord to others to actually touch and enjoy the glory of God. You know, another story. We were in New York on September 11th, 2001. 8 years ago. Just about 8 years ago exactly. And you may, of course, many of you might have been a little bit younger, 5, 6 years old, but you probably all remember the incident, right? Well, to be there was really quite something. And actually, I saw what happened because I was on my way to work. My office was located next to the World Trade Center. And I was on a train, make a long story short, I was on a train and I saw the buildings come down. And when the first building came down, we had just, the train, it was an above ground train, had just come behind a white building. And as we went behind the white building very slowly, because they were starting to shut down all the traffic to keep the traffic from coming into Manhattan, a young man came running into the train, to the car, about 35, 40 years old. And he was hysterical. And he announced to everyone in the train, one of the towers just collapsed. And we were all just shocked. And the conductor tried to get him under control. He said, now, hang in there. We don't want people to panic and so forth. And we came out from behind. We slowly came out from behind the white building. And you could look over there. And there was just one tower standing there. And all this white smoke from it being pulverized. And when people saw that, because we had been sitting there on the train watching the towers burn for about an hour, almost an hour. We had been on the train already watching the towers burn, and we're sitting there, we're getting reports on the radio, Pennsylvania, the Pentagon, the whole thing is going crazy. There's an attack on the East Coast, and what's going on? But you still had a sense that even with the towers burning, somehow, as bad as that was, we would sort of eventually get that under control. But when the towers went down, that was a whole other story. And at that point, I said to the young man next to me, I said, you know what, there's about 20,000 people just got killed. So at that moment, our thought was, you know, 20,000 people were just killed. And everybody was in a state of shock. New York's a very busy, loud place. Eventually, the train got turned around and everybody sort of had to head home. I got on a bus on Sutphin Boulevard in Jamaica, which is normally, you can't even hear, you can't even talk to the guy next to you because it's so loud. You could hear a pin drop because everybody was in a state of shock. No one could believe what had just happened. That night was the prayer meeting of the church. And we came together and prayed. And the saints were shocked too. In fact, one of the brothers was killed in the tower, one of the towers. We didn't know that yet. But as we prayed that night, there was just a sense there's a warfare going on. And we get to be on the Lord's side. And we get to join with Him so that we can pray for our fellow human beings, that in the midst of this terrible situation, many of them could turn to God. And we began to pray this way. And sometime shortly thereafter, we fellowshiped and we said, you know, we should go into the city and preach the gospel to the people. And I'll never forget, the first time we went in, you want to talk about fear? I was scared. I don't mind admitting that to you. I was afraid because we were going into Manhattan. This terrible thing had just happened. We had to deal with people in all kinds of situations. And as I looked, as we got onto the subway and I looked around, I just felt like, you know, we have a kind of motley group here, you know? There's just a few brothers, a few sisters, a couple of kids. I mean, who are we? Who are we in the middle of this cataclysmic event to deal with this? And part of me, I just thought, this is overwhelming. How do we deal with this? And at that moment on the subway, I just had a realization that we are members of the body of Christ. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I had a strong feeling at that time that there were saints in California, saints across the whole earth, that were praying for us. And that were praying for the gospel to go out in the middle of that situation. So what happened is, after that, I tell you, I just got encouraged. I just realized, let's do this, you know? Let's do this. Let us go into Manhattan and declare to the people that are in a state of shock, that don't know what's going on, why this happened, how could this be, that Jesus is the answer. And we went in there, and in fact, on the subway, we started to sing. We had the guitars, and we started singing right there on the subway. Now, if you've been on a New York subway, you know that singing on the subway is not part of the program. Singing on a New York City subway, huh? You're going to try and do that? You can go on there and beg for money. That's cool. People do that all the time. But to get on there and start singing hymns about Jesus, like Amazing Grace and stuff like that, are you crazy? We did it. And we did it a lot. And it was awesome. And I have never forgotten that time. And as far as I'm concerned, I'd like to do that all the time. Not that I'm saying we should have more 9/11s, but you know what? There's a big fire going on right here up in the mountains. People are suffering because of the fire. People suffer all the time because of things. They need to hear about Jesus. And so we went in singing. Then we would give out the tracts. We had the little kids giving out tracts. People were weeping on the subway. People looked at it. Part of me expected we'd have somebody telling us to shut up, you know? Never happened. On other occasions, they might tell you that. This is New York, after all. But they were open because they had been shattered by what happened. And they didn't know how to think about it. And they needed an answer. And they needed hope. And they needed comfort. And we were the ones that could bring it to them. It wasn't the Red Cross. And it wasn't, you know, this or that. It was people who loved the Lord, even the littlest ones among us, who just loved the Lord and just wanted to tell others about Jesus. And so we had so many good experiences. Eventually, we get into the city, and we went to this park, Washington Square Park, right by NYU. Normally, a place filled with all kinds of sin, all kinds of darkness. We went there singing and speaking the gospel to the people right there in the open air. We went up to Union Square Park, and this place had become a gathering point for so many people. There were pictures, there were flowers, there were candles. It had almost become a kind of memorial. And we went there, and it was just so crowded. You couldn't even, you know, you could hardly walk. And I said to one of the brothers, what are we going to do here? This is just, he said, well, let's see if we can find something. We walked around a little bit. We found an open patch of grass. And there were about 8 of us at this particular time. We went there in this open patch of grass. We started to sing Amazing Grace. And there was this big opening. And as we began to sing, the people just, like a wave, moved in because they wanted to be closer. And they joined us, and we shared our little songbooks with them. And we sang together with people we never met before, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And people got saved. People got saved because They realized that they needed an answer. They needed some kind of hope. They needed to figure out what was going on. And we had the truth to bring them because we had the name of Jesus. And it was so good to just declare his name to the people. Just like the hymn we sang tonight. Declare his doings among the people. We told them that Jesus died on the cross, but he was resurrected from the dead. And he ascended to the heavens. And he is the one on the throne. We told the people of New York after 9/11 that despite what happened there with those two towers, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Amen. And you know what? That's what they needed to hear. And I am so happy that I was a part of that.
Amen.
And so, brothers and sisters, this is our portion. We talk about bringing the Lord back. We talk about the end time. 9/11 is just, you know, just the beginning. People will need to hear what we have to say to them. People will need to hear the truth that we can bring to them. So do not be afraid. The Lord said, therefore, do not fear. Do not be afraid. The reason we don't have to be afraid is people need to hear what we have to say. You may look at a friend or a person in your class and think, man, that person, man, I've been through this. Some of the kids I've been with over the years, I tell them about Dennis Murphy and how much he used to pick on me until I, you know, we took care of business one day and that was it. But I wish I could see Dennis Murphy now so I could tell him about Jesus. You know what? Don't worry about what the kids in your class look like, the best athletes. This one's so good looking, so charming. They get all the girls, they get all the guys, whatever goes on there. You know, don't worry about any of that. We're not in that realm. They need that athlete, that person with the straight A's, that one who gets all the dates, you know what? That one needs to hear about Jesus.
Amen.
And you are just the one to tell them about it.
Amen.
And I can tell you story, we don't have the time, story upon story. People that seemingly, they look so well put together. Oh, they got it all going. And you feel, oh, look at me, man, I'm just a lost cause. I've got nothing going on here. You know what? But when it comes to talking about the purpose of our human life, you know what it is, and they don't.
Amen.
Because you know what it is, you need to tell them. And they may say, well, that's all fine and good, and they might even argue with you. But you know what? They will look at you, and they will realize that you have something that they do not have. That was my experience down in Florida, talking to these people. I knew they had something that I did not have. And that feeling stuck with me until eventually I received Christ. And that receiving of Christ has made all the difference. So let us just continue with the outline. I think we're almost done. Or we're up to B? D, I'm sorry. Let's read D together. You know, I like this phrase, as they try to fit in. Do you try to fit in? No, yes. Well, I was one who, I have to admit, I tried to fit in. And whether I fit in or not, I don't know. But eventually, when I became a believer, I knew that I had something that other friends of mine did not have. And for a long time, even as a believer, I tried to fit in. I would tell them about Jesus. I would tell them about Jesus, but they would just, you know, after this experience I just told you about at the concert, I told my friends, I met Jesus. And they thought, well, good for you. Actually, they weren't even that nice about it. They thought I had flipped. They thought I had gone crazy. And then they began to make fun, because then I got annoying. Because I kept telling them about Jesus. I didn't just say it once and walk away. I said, you know, guys, you need to turn to the Lord. Jesus is real. He'll give you a whole different way of living. And I kind of bugged them about it. And then I got annoying. And as a result, they began to just mock me. Well, what my choice at that point in time was what? Try to fit in or cut off the ties with my friends and realize, you know what? They want to have a different kind of life, but I'm here to follow the Lord. Amen. What do you think I did? I wish that was the case. I tried to fit in. Again, I wish I had a great story to tell you about being successful, walking away, cutting off the ties, you know, being absolute for the Lord. Sorry to say, I tried to fit in. Do you think I did well at it?
No.
You are correct. I did not do well at it. Eventually, it's just as it says. As you try to fit in and kind of keep their respect, you will become a failure as a believer. That's just the way it is. If that is your attitude toward your friends at school and toward your friends in the neighborhood, if your feeling toward them is you just want to fit in and you just want their respect, eventually their lifestyle, which is part of the trend of this age, will swallow you up. That was my experience. And that set me back for a good year or so in as far as my following the Lord. Eventually, I just became miserable. Because as I tried to fit in, I knew there was another way of living, and I was not happy. And eventually, I met some believers who became a big help to me to go on with the Lord. But I learned a big lesson then, that to try to fit in, to be part of what goes on around you, is not your portion as a believer. It is just not our portion. Our portion is to swim upstream against the flow of this age. That is our portion. But realize, saints, that as you are dealing with those friends and you feel like, wow, they do all this stuff, it's so cool, man, they do this, they go to the movies, they do this, they go to parties, all kinds of fun things. What's so bad about this? Actually, dangerous kind of situation. A dangerous situation. And if your attitude toward it is to try to fit in, eventually it will become a problem to you. You need to realize that actually, if your approach to your friends is, I have Jesus, and I have learned and seen what is the meaning of human life, and if I speak to them about it, that will either help them or eventually it will help you. Actually, no matter what, it's going to help you. Helps them, it will certainly help you. It will help you because then people will understand who you are. And eventually, they may invite you to the party. But when you say, no, I need to be with the brothers and sisters, they will realize you're just living life in a different way. And most people will respect that. And most people will understand it's not so profitable to invite you. So that will be a big help to you to be able to tell your friends that you are a believer. And actually, I do believe for most kids at the junior high age, most of them will respect your point of view and your feeling. And even more than that, I do believe many of them will want to know more and will want to hear from you more. Okay, let's go to number two.
There are
some common mistakes that young believers make. Brothers A. Let's go to B. Next one.
Get late.
How do you want to close it up?
This will become a joke to others. It is God's purpose as well as his plan to serve us. Do not be afraid to stand up and say, I believe in the Lord.
How about this? Do not be afraid to stand up and say, I believe in the Lord. Amen. Let's just do that all together right now. Let's just stand up and say, I believe in the Lord.
I believe in the Lord. I believe in the Lord.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I believe in the Lord. Okay, very good. Thank you. Sisters, let's read C. C on the outline. I like this. Please remember that while you're afraid of others, others may be afraid of you too. You know, we all think that, again, you know, we may think we have this, we need to try to fit into our class and our situation, and we may think our friends seem to have no worries, no problems. Yet I feel like I have all these problems, all these worries. The fact of the matter is, you may be surprised to know that that friend is suffering some things that you may not even be aware of. There might be some things going on in their home that are very distressing to them. But by the time they come to school, they have to put up a big front to show all their friends, they're cool, I have no worries, no problems. Those are the ones that oftentimes have the most problems, but they just don't want to admit it. So realize, young people, because we are here having this kind of time, to spend this kind of time to fellowship about the Lord and how to speak about Him to others, just by virtue of our having this fellowship is a strong indication that you have something in your human life that other people need. So don't ever go to your school thinking, I'm so short, I'm so poor, my friends are so much more together than I am. Your friends need to know and experience what you know and experience. Okay, D, let's read it together. One thing we should have is a thick skin. You know what? I went out to this place, the village here, and there were about seven people. I tried to give them tracts. None of them took a tract from me. How about that? Not very good, huh? This one young man in the Volkswagen with the tattoos and the shaved head and everything else, I went to him to give him a tract. He not only rejected the tract, he gave me a bit of attitude over it. Well, that's okay. That shouldn't stop us from going out, right? We shouldn't be afraid of what people think. How about E?
Some do not confess the Lord because they love the glory of man more than the glory of God. Many people dare not confess because they want hope. They want Christ.
Okay, now finally, Roman number 3. Let's read it together.
Thank the Lord that if we confess the Lord today, on that day he will also confess us before the Father.
I'd like to close this way, saints, just very briefly. I wish there were more time to tell you more stories, actually, but there's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Some of you may know it. But it speaks of many of the Christians throughout the centuries who have sacrificed everything because of their willingness to follow the Lord and their willingness to confess His name. And I'll just tell you a story about this one brother named William Gardner. In the Middle Ages, there was something called the Inquisition. And this was something developed by the Roman Catholic Church to inquire among people to see if they could locate heretics and to root them out and to eliminate their influence from society at that time. And they considered a heretic someone who loved to read the Bible. They considered somebody to be a heretic if they did not believe that the Pope was the supreme authority. They considered people a heretic if they did not want to pray to Mary or to the saints rather than to the Lord. They considered people a heretic in their mass. They have something called the transubstantiation. And in that, they have a host or a wafer where they believe that in the transubstantiation that takes place in their mass, that this wafer becomes the body of Christ. This is idolatry. But in the Middle Ages, they believed if you did not believe in these things, you were a heretic. And so they set up an Inquisition that went on for long periods of time to purge out these heretics. And they dealt with the people with torture and even death. Well, William Gardner was a man born in England, and at the age of 26 years old, he went to Lisbon in Portugal. And he went there to do business. And he became very involved with the Portuguese businessmen. And he was invited to a wedding that was held at a nearby cathedral. And at the wedding, well, before he went to the wedding, he had been to what the Catholics call the Mass, and he had observed this practice of the wafer becoming so-called the body of Christ and the reverence that was paid to the wafer. And people were not allowed to touch it, and people had to pray to it because they believed that that was the body of Christ. The physical body of Christ.
Not the church as the body of Christ.
Right, exactly. Exactly right. So he was offended by this practice, and he felt that this was really just simply idolatry to worship this wafer, and it was keeping people in darkness. Yet in the Inquisition, the Catholics believed that if you did not agree with this, you were a heretic. So he was very upset to watch this practice go on. So at one point, he decided that he wanted to do something. And he settled all his affairs, he paid his debts, he closed his books, and he signed over his merchandise to his partner. And on the following Sunday, he went again to the cathedral church with a New Testament in his hand, and he placed himself near the altar. The king and the court soon appeared, and Cardinal began the Mass at that part of the ceremony in which the people adore the wafer. Gardner could hold out no longer, but springing towards the Cardinal, he snatched the host from him and trampled it under his feet. This action amazed the whole congregation, and one person, drawing a dagger, wounded Gardner in the shoulder, and would have, by repeating the blow, would have finished him, had not the king called him to desist. And then Gardner was brought before the king, and he asked him,
"Where are you from? What country?" He said, "I am an Englishman by birth. What I have done is not out of contempt to your royal person, God forbid it, but out of an honest indignation to see the ridiculous, superstitious, and gross idolatries practiced here." So Gardner was sent to prison, and an order was sent that he would be executed for what he had done. And he was then tortured in a most excruciating manner. And eventually he was brought to the stake where, and I, you know, not to get into too many details, but he was martyred. But as he was there and the flames came up, the report was that he was shining and he just was praying to the Lord. "Lord, receive my spirit." He echoed the same prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed when the Lord was on the cross. And so anyway, just a story to tell you that this is part of our heritage, young brothers and sisters, to realize that many saints have gone before us and have not cared for the glory of men, but have cared more for the glory of God. So our portion in these days is that we could be the same in our classrooms, in our neighborhoods, not to be afraid of how people react, but to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. So that'll be what we would encourage you to do then is we'll have a cabin time. I don't know if there are any announcements in the cabin time. Perhaps get into the readings.